Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, August 29th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 24, the third paragraph, The Alcoholic May Say to Himself, ending with, or, what's the use anyhow? Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Denise G., Stephanie L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Leslie M. The reference number for Sunday, August 28th, is 19,338. That's 19338. And for this morning, Monday, August 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,339. That's 19339. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Team Monday, and good morning to the newcomers, and thanks, Dawn, for your service. Joanne L., Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer in meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thank Leah for allowing me to do service this month. Let's have a good meeting. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Dawn. This is Terry A., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA member, OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but it may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, every reminding us to replace principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service this month. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 24, the third paragraph. The alcoholic may say to himself, ending, "Or what's the use anyhow?" Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. I'll now ask Denise G. to read and share with us. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Donnie. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Denise G. from Northern California, a recovered compulsive overeater. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, "It won't burn me this time, so here's how." Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us begun to drink in the nonchalant way, and after the third or fourth, pounded on the bar and said to ourselves, "For God's sake, how did I ever get started again?" Only to have that thought supplanted by, "Well, I'll stop with the sixth drink." Or, "What's the use anyhow?" Well, this is a great paragraph for me to read because I can relate to it so much. I've been there so many times. It usually was, "What's the use anyhow?" that I was going through. I would swear, "I don't want to eat anymore. I want to do what is asked of me, what my sponsor wants me to do." So often, so many times in and out of these rooms, and said, "For God's sake, what did I do again?" And to me, when I started, I didn't even have the thought in my head. I didn't think to stop after the first or second, because I knew once I took that first bite, it was over with. And, you know, I went to the store, got things out of the garbage just to get more. And it was told of me to call somebody. I never called somebody. I didn't want them to mess my thoughts. Well, I wanted to eat when I wanted to, so I didn't want to mess it up by calling somebody and them talking me out of having my food. And it amazes me on this line when I hear people say they went out and then they stopped and called somebody even after, because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to waste this 24 hours. I can eat for this whole 24 hours. And that's what I did. And thank God for these rooms. Just keep coming back, because that's what I did. Just kept coming back. And when people call me today and say, you know what, I have the thought of food, I get so excited and thinking, oh my God, thank you for calling me, because I didn't do that. And I just get so grateful that they're calling and they're reaching out. And today I can be there for them. And my heart is filled with so much gratitude to this book and these meetings, that it showed me the way to my God and my spiritual awakening. I don't want to be there ever again, and that's why I go to my higher power every day throughout the day. I make calls to other fellows, because I can't do this alone. I have learned this. I know it's not in the chapter I read, but half measures avail me nothing, because that's what I did for many, many years in and out of these rooms. And thank you so much for everybody that makes this meeting work, and welcome to all the newcomers. Welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Denise G., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy B., California.
Wendy B.?
No, V as in Victor.
Okay, and was that Penny L.?
Penny L. C. from Washington. Thank
Penny
you.
L. C. Okay.
Kara L.
Darcy.
Kara L.
Nebraska.
And Darcy?
Yes.
L. C. Okay. All right. I've got Wendy V. Penny. And Mo H. I've got Wendy V., Penny L. C., Kara L., Darcy C., and Mo H. Please, Wendy V., get us started.
Good morning, everyone. I just love this part because it describes my thinking fully and the disease of a compulsive overeater. And this is all about the mind. This is my mind and how my mind works. And I casually walk with maybe a group of people into a restaurant, or, you know, when I was working years ago on a job, or into the office where they might be having a little work party. And I casually, nonchalantly reach for the same food I see my other coworkers being able to take. And I just don't even think. I just, you know, oh, it's not going to burn me this time. And next thing you know, the obsession takes over. And then the physical allergy kicks in, and now I'm leaving the job. Because what happens to me when I eat certain foods is different than what happens to my fellows. And this is such a powerful, cunning disease, because this is the mind. And if I use my mind to try to fix myself, guess where I end up? Doing the same thing nonchalantly over and over. Or it describes all the different thoughts I can have. And each time I'm doing it, somehow I'm thinking that I had some sort of power of choice in this whole disease. This the way my disease plays out, if you go back to paragraph, it says we have no power with sufficient force to bring into consciousness the memory or the suffering and the humiliation of even a week or a month ago. I don't even have it when it comes, you know, the night before. I can't remember that I already did this and that I'm going to get burned and this is what's going to happen. Or I might just think I'm normal like Marianne and Betty Sue over there and we're all walking into the office and I can eat what they can eat. But whatever, I'm going to end up losing control over how much I eat. And I can't control the mind that's going to take me back into the office the next day until I completely am jobless because I can't handle what's going to happen to me with food. And I do this over and over and over. And of myself, I can't change this. I can't change my thinking. I can't wish it away. I can't wake up tomorrow and hope for a new day. Every single day I will repeat this because I cannot remember or bring into my consciousness with sufficient force the memory or the suffering from even the night before, sometimes the morning. And this is what I'm stuck with. And this is why I'm sitting here this morning with you guys. And this is my only hope, God. God is my only hope because my mind will never fix my mind. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy V. Penny LC, please share with us, followed by Kara L.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. When I read this paragraph and reflect on it, it just brings me back to how much I thought it would be different. Somehow I would fool myself into thinking that I could control it. And boy, if I just don't look at that, how much denial I was in, you know, and it just points to the power of that mental obsession that out of nowhere, I will somehow think that that bite is going to give me some type of relief, some type of gratification, and it never does, over and over and over again. That points to the insanity of this disease, my disease of compulsive overeating. And, oh my gosh, you know, just believing the lie that I could somehow get away with it and then running smack into the truth that no, I didn't get away with it this time either. And, oh, and then the remorse, the guilt, the shame. It's just such a cycle. And as soon as I took that first bite, then of course the allergy kicks in and I am off to the races, so to speak. When it comes to this, my binge foods, I have no choice. I am powerless. I've lost any ability to control it. It was never mine to begin with, truly. Because I wasn't wired that way. I was wired to need a power greater than myself. And what a blessing that that's available to me when I just seek it and ask. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny LC from Washington. Kara L., please share with us, followed by Darcy.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody that's doing service in the meeting today, and welcome to everybody, newcomers. I love this book. I love the balance in this book. I love the instructions in this book. I love the compassion and the love in this book, and I love the identity in this book, because, you know, I've already heard this morning and when I read those lines, Oh, it won't burn me this time. Here's how. I am the great schemer, planner, left my own devices. I think I have the answers for myself and everyone around me. And if I just plan it out, and if I just am smart enough and strong enough and whatever enough, then of course I can do that. And the problem comes is I am not strong enough, smart enough to solve this particular thing. I just can't. And then I get demoralized and the whole cycle starts. And what takes me out of that cycle is a power greater than myself. A power that can, is strong enough, smart enough, knows everything, sees everything, right? And it's amazing how the littlest thing, when I take my will and I decide I know, leads to me pounding on the counter and going, how did I get here again? And it could be as simple as thinking, oh, it's okay if I have a little more of that. I don't really need to read that label. Oh, my friends are doing it. It must be okay. Those thoughts that come so easily into my head. And we're going to read on what helps with that. What is my defense? And I'll give you a little confession. My defense is a power greater than myself, because without a power greater than myself, I have no armor against that. I have to have something greater than me that can protect me from those thoughts. And I'm so grateful today that I have that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Darcy, please share with us, followed by Mo H.
This is Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Go ahead, Darcy.
Okay, I'm sorry. What got me as far as this was the fact that I may be able to take one bite one day, and then another next day one day. But eventually, after two or three days, I'm back into the full disease, where the whole thing will. I have to have the full eating pattern, and because it sometimes takes me a little while to get my brain and everything to work together to realize that I am doing the full disease. And I have to find a way, and I'm working with another sponsor, and I'm hoping that this time I can get closer in touch, because I have learned a lot with the last two sponsors I've had, that I am doing better with my higher power, and I am doing better with my food, but I am definitely one of those that an emotional eater, that at times I feel like I'm one of the hopeless ones, but yet I know I'm not. And I'm trying to stay with the program, because they say the only requirement is a desire to stop being compulsively, and I believe that. And so I'm hanging in there, and I'm just saying this is very insidious, cunning, babbling, When I go out in public, I can behave myself, usually. But when I'm at home, so it is very. I'm rambling here, but it's hard. I'm just going to say, I am one of these. I'm just going to end with this. I'm not just saying thank you for sharing, and let me say my piece. Thank you for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Darcy M. from Nebraska. And just a quick reminder, we're on page 24, the third paragraph. The alcoholic may say to himself, ending with, or what's the use anyhow? So we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. And after Mo H. shares, I'm going to open up the lines to take more names. So Mo H., please share with us.
Yeah. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the newcomers. Grateful to be here this Monday morning. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. You know, it's like this book just describes me. It's like, how did Bill know me? And but he knew himself. And so I learned when I first came into vision meeting to identify in with the reading. And for years, I identified out that I wasn't as that bad. I didn't eat that bad. I didn't, you know, this or that, whatever. I just identified out. And what I learned by reading these, you know, very distinct, concise paragraphs that, you know, it won't burn me this time. I didn't say that word, but I would say it won't hurt me this time. Just one more, or just one little one that won't bother me. I did not realize that it was my thinking that got me into trouble. It wasn't the eating. It was the thinking, because before I take that first bite, I am abstinent. And if I can remember that before I put that food in my mouth, and I'll tell my sponsees, you know, there's an elbow between your hand and your mouth. And the elbow I call God. And that's the halt piece. That's the time to pick up the phone or to do some writing. You know, and it's like the first thought isn't, I'm not responsible for my first thought. That happens because I'm an addict, because I, you know, I think I've been since early on in life. I always love my sugar. But I am responsible for my first action. So if I can interrupt that thought, you know, and replace it with a tool, a step, anything, like changing where I am, you know, just if I'm in the kitchen, get outside or get out of the kitchen, any of that will help, you know. And so, but I just totally identified in with this paragraph, you know, how did I get here? How did this happen again? How did I put my hand in that bag again? And sometimes it's totally unconscious. So every day I have to work on my connection with my higher power all throughout the day, and that I remain conscious of everything that I'm doing, especially my food. I eat 3 weighed and measured meals a day, and I don't have snacks in between. That's my program. And that's it. And when I'm done, I'm done. There's no extra, you know, oh, I think I'll have a little of this. No, I'm done. So thank you for being there. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. On page 24, the third paragraph, the alcoholic may say to himself, commenting on that one paragraph only. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Mark M.
Hello, this is Raquel from Israel. I don't know if you can hear me.
Okay, I have Raquel from Israel. And who is before Raquel? Who were the other names before Raquel?
Margo.
There were Margo?
Yeah.
H?
B. O. M.
And who M? Oh, Phil. Very good.
And Diane N. from Georgia.
Was that Diane?
Yeah.
Very good.
Lauren Grace B.
Who B?
Lauren Grace B.
Lauren Grace.
Deborah G.
Okay.
Bonnie W.
And Bonnie W. And let's stop there. Okay. I have Margo C., Raquel, Phil M., Diane M., Lauren Grace, Deborah G., and Bonnie W. Margo C., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Margo B.,
and calling. My name is Margot B. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful to claim my seat. Thank you so much for the shares around the room. What really got me going that I needed to share was everything was still within the boundaries, turned everything over, but at one point things were heavier than usual. And it struck me that, like, it was me trying to be like this other person. And it just, I can't do that. I can't do that from my soul. I can't do that from the food plan. I can't do that from my being, period. So for me, food is always a symptom. And the last thing I wanted to say was, for me, I can go into the screw it type of thing, the negative thinking, especially around my body image. If my body is not responding the way I want it to respond and aging is not helping, I just say, well, what the heck? You know, what the heck? You know, now all of a sudden, like, nothing's coming off, or now, you know, just issue after issue, and it's just like, again, the body image stuff. And it can trigger me into this, you know, rabbit hole. And not that I need an excuse to compulsively overeat. I can compulsively overeat if I'm happy, sad, angry, bitter. It doesn't matter. I don't need an excuse. I'm a compulsive overeater. But it's just really good to claim my seat, see the connection, turn it over, and get honest. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. Now we'll have Raquel share with us, followed by Phil M. Hello, Raquel.
Yes, hello. I hope this will work. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. For some reason, I cannot make the voice be any higher. Whoa, I'm so glad to be with all of you guys. I thought that the hardest part of my life is over. I turned 80, and I have made arrangements to move into, you know, it's not nice that I call it that. It's assisted living, assisted dying, whatever. I call it parental orphanage. They used to be, and no matter how nice it is and how many activities there are, it's a new reality in our life, in our existence, cultural existence, whatever. But I have kids in the States, and I have kids here, and they got together. It's going to happen. But I feel so exhausted. And now with 13 years and 8 months and about 10 days of total abstinence, beautiful abstinence and recovery and wonderful things happening, I find myself tempted. Not to the point that I would eat things that are absolutely my no-no. There hasn't been bread and flour of any color, whatever, or, you know, sugar. No way, not even. They even put sugar in salt nowadays, you know. Somehow it ends. I'm looking for the ingredients and so on, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. To talk about this, mentioned on Sunday, somebody asked about what's the meaning of daily reprieve. And it's one of my favorite words in the whole big book. And I asked a lot of American people in the last convention, what does that mean? Not until a British guy looked it up for me in the Oxford Dictionary here in Israel from my synagogue and put it in my mailbox did I know. But I think it's important we all know. Daily reprieve, one of the most poignant uses of it, translations of it, is postponement of a death sentence. It's like they tell a person, you know, honey, you should be getting on the electric chair today, but because we don't have electricity, we're going to see about tomorrow. Now, if I look at this paragraph and I know in my head that all I have is a daily reprieve, you know, running like my hair is on fire is not yet describing it, you know, sternly enough. But for me, that's what it is, because if I will get any of this stuff in me, I'd get so depressed that the only way out is for me thinking about suicide. That's it. That's how heavy my disease is. Everybody's is of a different degree. But I need to share it with you all, my dear ones. You're my family.
Can,
if my daily reprieve runs out, I want you to know that it was wonderful, wonderful being together. I'm just, you know, being a little bit dramatic, but that's what it is for me. Thank you for being there, and have wonderful daily reprieves, everybody. I pass.
Thank you so much, Raquel from Israel. Phil M., please share with us, followed by Diane M.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Phil. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Ireland. And it's a very powerful paragraph, this, you know. And I did wonder why I relapsed so many, many times. And I did. I had a year and a half of abstinence, and I mistook that for recovery. I thought if I wasn't eating my trigger foods, that was me recovered. But I wasn't. I needed more. But before I got recovery, I had 5.5 years of relapsing. And almost every day of the year became my first day of abstinence, you know, at some point or another during that time. And I think what happened was that I was listening to my disease. I wasn't recovered, and my disease was telling me, you're in prison. Come out of prison. Come on, come on, come on. Come out into this beautiful landscape. And all you have to do is eat a little bit of chocolate. Eat a little piece. It'll be fine. You'll get relief. You'll be fine. And then you can start again. And I would listen to that, and I would take the chocolate or whatever it would be. And then my disease laughed and flung the doors of the real prison shut on me. And I realized what I'd done. But, you know, that even that, you know, being back in prison of the food is an illusion too. Because when I work my program, and I'm so grateful to Vision and the help that it has given me, and to my sponsor and to everyone here, I work my program and find abstinence. The walls of that prison of food melt away. You know, it's an illusion too. So I'm just so grateful to have found a way of living that brings me a lot of happiness. It means I can be useful to myself and to other people, and that's pretty incredible. Thank you all very much for being here and helping me get out of the prison that was my food, my master. Thanks so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Phil M. from Northern Ireland. Diane M., will you share with us now, followed by Lauren Grace. Go ahead, Diane.
Thanks. Thank you guys for your service today. I'm Diane N. from Georgia. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Years ago, this reading reminds me of a pen I got. Years ago, I went to a conference, and I bought this little pen that you could hang. It's a magnet, because I keep it on my refrigerator. And it says, I'm not allowed in my head without adult supervision. And when I heard this read this morning, I mean, I have been in this place so many times where I've said to myself, just like this says, the alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, you know, it won't burn you this time. Come on, Diane, you can eat it. And this, it's going to work this time, because you've got, and here's how, you know, I have the little plan all mapped out in my head. I'm not going to keep eating. But every time I would fall for the okey-doke. I would fall, I start eating, and then the minute I take a bite, and to myself, me and my conference, you know, I'm up in my head, says, oh, if you had just waited one more minute, it would have passed. Oh, if you had just made a phone call, it would have passed. But that's not even an option when I'm obsessed with taking that bite, and when I'm obsessed with telling myself, it's going to work this time, and it never has worked. So now today, I'm not if something comes up like that, I go to talk with someone. I have a sponsor. I know to follow the directions. I know to do my 10 steps. Regardless, you know, every day I have to work on my steps and try to live on steps 10, 11, and 12. And I just wanted to share that it so resonated with me. I was a chronic overeater. You know, I was so in my disease, I just couldn't stop. I thought, and every time I thought I had a plan, you know, like I'm not going to eat in the car. I won't eat after 6. I'll eat what I want on the weekends, and that's it. Every time I had a plan, it fell through. And so I never could, and I still can't understand why it didn't work, you know, because I was very, very convincing to myself. I was a chronic relapser, but today I'm in recovery. I've been in recovery since, a little over 2.5 years, and that's only by the grace of God. Only because of me not having those conversations with Diane and with me working with the sponsor and following the directions, not me telling the sponsor what I think, the way I think things should work. So thank you guys for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane N. from Georgia. Lauren Grace B., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Lauren Grace B from South Jersey. So grateful to be here. Thank you so much, Dawn, and everyone else for your service. Oh boy, this just reminded me of my last relapse, which happened on vacation in April. It won't burn me this time, so here's how. You know, I never had dessert. I never went big. It was just an accumulation of tiny little things, foods that are abstinent for other people. And that's always the way it starts for me. It never starts big because that's not the way the disease or the enemy works in my life. It's cunning. So it's not going to put before me something I obviously know isn't good for me. It's always going to start small. And so I had a number of pickups. And then on the way home in the airplane, I decided that it was fine to eat what they were serving on the plane, because it was a small, not much leg room. I couldn't get to my backpack. I couldn't pull out my abstinent food, and it would have been very difficult to pull it all together. So I said, oh, I'm just going to eat what they give me. And when I got home, this is exactly how I felt. For God's sake, how did I ever get started again? And by God's grace alone, I was able to become abstinent again right away. But man, the mental obsession was just so powerful. The condemnation, you know, giving up my sponsee, it's really high stakes. But on the other side of it now, I can't say that I'm sorry it happened, because I learned so much. And my abstinence now is much stronger because of that time of relapse on vacation. And God is much closer to me, and I work a much stronger program. So I would just encourage anybody who's struggling, you know, our path is our path, and not to compare, just to try to stay close to God and pray and do what God is telling you to do. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Bonnie W.
Thank you, Dawn, so much for moderating today, and everyone that's made this meeting possible, and all the shares for 12-Step and me today. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And wow, I was just reminiscing in the past and feeling this gratitude of God's grace that was mentioned, that I'm not in that vicious cycle anymore, you know, where that would go on with me, where I'd put it in my body and my mind would say, it's okay, you know, and then I'd have it. And then I'd say, oh my God. And then the body was wanting more again. And then my mind would kick in. And it just, you know, I was in such self-delusion and dishonesty and could not see the truth. And I didn't want to see the truth. I wasn't opening up a space at all for that divine loving presence to come in and show me the reality of it. And so I just kept doing it. And I did it for many years. That went on and on and on. And the insanity of it all, you know, oh boy. And it was also very exhausting trying to keep that up, trying to keep feeding myself that alcoholic food once I would put it in my body. And also I'd have all these emotions going on because of what I was doing to myself and what I was doing to others and how I was feeling inside my body and all these thoughts about, you know, the resentments, the self-centeredness, and all that stuff was going on. And I felt like I had to keep, you know, putting that food in because of the dis-ease I felt within myself, the discomfort, looking for that ease and comfort to help me with that, to ease that up a little bit. And I'm so grateful today that finally I got woken up, you know, from that unconsciousness. I got free of that cycle to I was willing to have a sponsor take me through the steps quickly so I could see the truth and get honest with myself and see the truth. And then by going through those steps, they worked me. I didn't work them. And I was able to get that neutrality and that freedom. Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Bonnie W., please share with us.
Hey, Dawn, this is Bonnie from Northern Nevada. And I can't tell you how hundreds of times I've had sponsors ask me, so what made you pick up that first bite? And the thought would always come to me, I have no idea. And just like in the book, it says, I have no idea. And, you know, it's not uncommon that people will talk about, or sponsors will talk about, don't let yourself get too hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And truth be known, there will be times when I am hungry or angry or lonely or tired. And, you know, I can try very hard to avoid those times, but they still will happen. And for me, those, I don't know how it happened. I don't know why I did it. As I look back, it's always been that I have failed to stay in fit spiritual condition. It's always been that I have, whether it was one day or 3 days or 10 days, I have stopped or reduced how much I would stay in contact with my higher power, with my God. I have maybe not made phone calls or missed meetings or have not done my daily meditations. But it's for me, it starts with that lax in staying in fit spiritual condition. That's what leads up to it. And when I am in fit spiritual condition, I may get hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. But the obsession, that insidious thought, has far less power or no power, or they're not even there. And that's how I do it. And I don't have a ton. Thank you. I don't have a lot of ton of abstinence, but I know just for today, that's what I need to do each day. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie W. from Nevada, and to everyone who shared. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me be of service in August.